just where we've been looking at covenant in the Bible and different covenants where God tells his grand story in the Bible, the covenant with creation with Adam, and then the covenant with Abraham, and then Moses, and then David. And we're going to look at the new covenant today. Thank you, Jesus. So if you remember that God, in last week we learned this, in the Mosaic covenant, the covenant that God made with Moses, basically that was a conditional covenant, right? And God gave them the law, and he says, here you go. This is your law to govern yourselves as a nation. And then he says, here's the conditions. He says, your part is, if you obey these laws, I will bless you, and you will occupy and live in this land that I promised Abraham. And you're his descendants. You're going to live here forever and ever and ever, but you need to obey my law. And but if you don't obey my law, all these negative things will happen to you, and you'll actually be booted out of the land. I will personally stir up other armies to come and take you out by force. And he did, because they did disobey him. And that was the problem, is they had his laws, and they're like, yes, we're in on this covenant. But the problem was, is they couldn't keep it. They just kept disobeying it over and over and over again. And God would warn them, you need to turn back now because it's not looking good. I'm going to boot you out of here. And they just persisted in their disobedience. And here's what I just want to say this about the law of Moses. The law of Moses is good. Some people look at the law of Moses and they're like, oh man, yeah, the law of Moses, you know, that wasn't good, you know, but this is good. I'm like, no, the law of Moses is awesome. But the reason sometimes people say, well, it's not good, they're like, yeah, well, it can't really save anybody, but it was never designed to. The law of Moses, it revealed the holiness of God, and it diagnosed our problem. But the law of Moses wasn't created to fix the problem. It was created to diagnose the problem so that we would be ready for the solution to the problem, which is we are a sinful people with a sinful heart and a sinful nature, who we need a miracle to happen on the inside of us to make us righteous people again and deliver us from the nature of sin. Is this making sense? And so that really was the purpose of the law of Moses. And even under that covenant, when they were under that covenant, God would prophesy through various prophets about another covenant, a new covenant that he would be giving to them someday that would be the solution to their sin problem. And we read that. Let's read it together. Ezekiel chapter 36. We'll just read a few of the places where he talks about it. Ezekiel 36, therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. So I got to give you the context of this. This is one of those times. Israel was, at the time of this message, they were actually kicked in exile out of the land that was promised to them. And they were in another land as slaves. They were in Babylon. And Ezekiel was there with him among all the captives who are from Israel. So they're in the penalty box, so to speak. You know, they're over here in exile in Babylon. And while they're there, this message of hope comes through Ezekiel. And he says, I am going to bring you back to the land. Because remember the Abrahamic covenant? That land was promised to them and their descendants forever. And even though they were kicked out because of disobedience, it wasn't a permanent exile. It was God's discipline, and then God promised, I will bring you to repentance, I will, and then he says this, and then eventually I'm going to bring you back, you're going to occupy it forever. So he says, I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. I like that right there, actually. That's really, he's like, I'm doing this, but to be honest, it's not because you're so awesome, it's because I keep my word. That's why. I made a covenant with your forefather Abraham, and I will keep my word. And I made a covenant with you through Moses. So he says, for verse 24, for I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you back home again to your land. And here's the new covenant part. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit in you. Now, these are, you remember the covenant with Abraham, Remember, a covenant is a legally binding agreement where both sides agree to certain things. Like one side says, I'll do this. The other side's okay, and I'll do this. And we have an agreement. It's a legally binding agreement. It would hold up in a court of law. Okay, like God is making this kind of legally binding agreement, a covenant with his people. And the new covenant, he's giving us the promises. You remember the one with Abraham? He was like, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to all nations. You and your descendants will live in this land forever, etc. Those are the specific promises in that covenant. In the new covenant, he says, I will give you a new heart. Everybody say new heart. Okay? Then he says, I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. I love this. And I will put my spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in you. Everybody say in. I love there's a verse where Jesus is talking to his disciples right before he's crucified. And he talks about how he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And he says to them, he says, the Holy Spirit's with you right now, but then he will be in you. And it's like there was a time coming when the Spirit that they was all around them, because they were with Jesus and Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Spirit's moving. I mean, spiritual activity, angelic activity, it's happening all a swirl all over the place around them, even through them, but he wasn't yet in them. And Jesus is like, he's coming in. That's the good news. He's like, this new covenant that I told Ezekiel I would send you, it's about to come. He's coming into you and everything's going to change. Your heart's going to change. Your desires are going to change. Then he says, I'll put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations and you will live in Israel. There's that Abrahamic covenant again. The land I gave your ancestors long ago, you will be my people and I will be your God. Let's look at Jeremiah 31. I just want to read this and then I'll say a few things and then we'll experience it. The day is coming, says the Lord. So this is Jeremiah, where he prophesies about that new covenant again. He says, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah, this covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them up out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant. He's talking about, which covenant is he talking about there? Yeah, the one with Moses. That's right. He says, they broke that covenant. Though I loved them, I love this language. Though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. Everybody just put your hand right here. And just say deep within me. Yeah, that's the promise. God's going to put his words and his instructions there. Lost my spot. And I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord, for everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, says the Lord. That's a cool promise. Because Israel, they didn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And when they wanted to hear from God, the way it worked is God would pick a few people, like a Moses, or an Elisha, a prophet in their midst, and God would come to them and he would speak to them and then they would give the message to the people. You guys with me? And so the only way they knew God, somebody heard his voice and gave the message. You guys with me? But God says there's a new covenant coming where it's not just I'm going to speak to one or two who's going to tell it to everybody else. But he says, all of them will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will know me personally. They will all hear my voice. It's not just going to be like Pastor Jeff has the word of the Lord. Pastor Autumn has the word of the Lord, you know. And it's like, no, you can hear his voice just like Elijah, just like Moses, just like Elijah, just like Isaiah, just like Ezekiel, just like Jeremiah, just like the Apostle Paul. It's all of us in the new covenant. The Spirit comes into us and we know him personally. We hear his voice. We feel his presence. We can be led by the Holy Spirit. Is this making sense? That's why God is so excited about the new covenant. Even when he gave Moses that covenant, He was actually anticipating, even then, he was anticipating the fullness that he was actually building toward, which is the day he was preparing the way for the new covenant. Because the whole time he's like, ever since Adam and Eve sinned and they were removed from the garden, his manifest glory, ever since that moment, God has been acting out an action plan to restore people back to God again, where we could be in his glory and his spirit could fill us again. Because God, he's like, remember his big plan? He wants to live, his dream is to live on the earth with his people forever. That's his big dream. And he's like, problem is, it's like all the people in the entire earth are sinful and I'm a holy God and I can't like turn off my holiness like a light switch. I don't just turn it on and turn it off. He's like, I am who I am. That's actually his name he gave himself. I am who I am. I am holy. When sin comes into the glory of God, it's like bugs hitting a bug zapper. You ever seen that? Yeah. And you get a hot summer night, you got a bug zapper on the porch, mosquitoes come. It's like, yes, got another one. You know? It's like, good. And that's what it is. When sin comes into the presence of a holy God, the unfiltered presence, glory of a holy God, God told Moses, you can't look upon my face and live. But here's the deal. God's like, but I want to live face to face with my people forever. God is coming to the earth and he will be seen with the visible eye again. That just like in the Garden of Eden. That's when what he's working toward the whole time. And the new covenant had to happen where he not just could give us laws to help us restrain our sinful desires, but where he actually changed our hearts so we were set free from the power of sin. So let me illustrate it like this. Right now, at least I think right now, last I heard, in Singapore, if you go to Singapore, they have like the most intense drug laws, anti-drug laws that I've heard of. Where there's a true story. There was a pastor, and he was flying on a plane on a flight that was going to Singapore from, I think it was Holland or something like that. Well, in Holland, it's like they had some of the loosest drug laws in the world. It's like you could smoke weed, you can do drugs as much as you want. It's all completely legal. But in Singapore, it's the opposite. If you get caught distributing drugs or anything like that, it's like instant, like it's intense. I can't remember if it's death penalty. It's something intense. It's like no chances. Like we don't mess around with drugs. You do it here, you're dead. I mean, basically that's what it is, and it's real. And so this pastor was on a flight from Holland to Denmark, and he was sitting next to a young man. And somewhere in the flight, this young man kind of turned to this pastor and kind of sheepishly was like, he's like, yeah, is it true what I hear about the drug laws in Singapore? And he's like, I heard they're pretty harsh. And the pastor's like, he'd been there before. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, no, it's not a joke. He's like, they're serious. You get caught with drugs, you are, dead. And all of a sudden, this kid next to him just starts sweating and getting really, really nervous. And a few minutes go by and he gets up out of his seat and he's like, excuse me, and goes to the bathroom, comes back a few minutes later, sits down, and there's this look of relief on his face. And the pastor turned and looked at him and smiled and he was like, did you get rid of some extra baggage? And he confessed that he had. But see, here's what that illustrates. What the law does, the law actually restrains the drug addict from acting out the sinful desires of their heart. It actually gives strict enough penalties where they're like, it's not worth it. I want to do the wrong thing really, really bad, but the penalty is so costly and I'm not going to risk it. I'm going to restrain my desires for the drugs. But it doesn't set the drug addict free from the addiction. You guys with me? And it's like the law that God gave Moses, it didn't, he's like, don't commit adultery. If you do, you die. I mean, that was the law. He's like, you die if you get caught committing adultery. It doesn't cure lust in the heart, though. I mean, people with lust and, commit adultery in their hearts all day long and coveting their neighbor's wife, and they do that and do that and do that. But they'd say, man, I want to act out on this, but I'm not going to, because if I get caught, I get killed. It's not just like I get in trouble and lose my marriage. I die. I mean, literally, that was the law. And so what it did is they're like, I think I'm going to restrain myself. But the heart was just as sinful. The heart was a breeding ground for sin. And the law didn't fix the heart. What it did is it kept society, because it is better, even though society is filled with sin, if people don't act it out, it makes it a better city to live in. Isn't that true? And so, you know, I'd rather, I know you feel like killing that person, but I'm glad you restrain yourself, actually, because it makes it a lot better neighborhood to live in. You guys with me? But it doesn't fix the heart. And Jesus says, I got a new covenant coming, though, that's going to actually fix the problem that the law diagnosed, the problem of the sinful nature. He says, I'm going to give you a new heart. And I love the new covenant is heart surgery. Is what happens is God comes and he says, I remove your old heart, which is stubborn. I'm going to read that description again. It says, your stony, stubborn heart. Like, that's God. This is what I think about your heart. That's really true. To the whole human race, he's like, here's the reality. He loves us, actually, even with the stubborn, stony heart. He loves us. That's why he died for us while we were still sinners. But he's like, I got to be honest with you. Just like a good doctor, I'm giving you an honest diagnosis. You have a hard, stubborn, stony heart that resists my righteous ways. And that actually, it's a problem and it needs to be fixed. So he says, I'm going to remove that from you, though. But thank God he doesn't leave us heartless. He says, I'm going to replace it with a new one. And the new heart, he describes it as tender and responsive. It's a heart that's tender to God. All of a sudden, we have new desires, and we love the things he loves. What he calls good, we say, that is good. It's like we see with a new set of through a new set of lenses where, wow, Jesus, your ways are beautiful. You are lovely. Your kingdom is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Eternal judgment is real. The kingdom of God is real. The word of God is real. It's like, I love what you love. And we have these new desires. I remember when I got my new heart, when I got filled with the Spirit for the first time, I instantly had two new desires that I was consciously aware of within 30 minutes of receiving the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, God, I knew, I felt his presence and I heard his voice. I felt his love. I knew he was my Father. And I was like, I want to feel close to you like this for the rest of my life, like every second of every single day. I actually was thinking this way. And God was like, yeah, that's good, because that's how I feel about you. Think about that. God the Father's like, I've been thinking, longing in my heart for that with you since the moment you were conceived. I've been longing to be in your, to be with you, connected intimately with you. You hearing me, us interacting back and forth with one another in love. I have been longing for this kind of fellowship and intimate friendship with you since the moment you were conceived, but I had to get you to repent of your sin so I could get the Spirit in you so that it could be, my desire could become a reality. So all of a sudden the Spirit comes into me and I had the same desire he has, closeness with God. Second desire, I was like, I want to make you a proud papa. I want to please God. Like, I wanted to live a holy life. Like, holiness, all of a sudden, it wasn't oppressive to think about. It was desirable. I was like, oh, man, I got to live a holy life. I can't do this. I can't do this. I didn't think that at all. It was the exact opposite. I was like, I want to live a holy life. I was so actually jazzed. I mean, I was pumped. I remember going to bed that night. I'm like, tomorrow is my first day, official, full day, living for God. I was so excited to live a holy life. I wanted to do it. I hardly even knew what it looked like. I was like, I have to go to church, stop going to parties. That was about the extent of what I knew at that moment. But I was like, what I know, I'll just go for it, you know? And I was so excited to live a holy life. Can I tell you what? I am just as excited today about living a holy life. I love holiness. Holiness is awesome. Joyful holiness. It's amazing. I love it. But these desires come in because why? He took away my old stubborn, stony heart and he gave me a new heart that was tender and responsive. This is the new covenant. And he says, I'll forgive their sins, their wickedness, and never remember their sins again. So let me just sum it up by giving you two or three points, and then we're going to watch a movie. I could go, you could talk a lot more about the new covenant. But I really feel like the Spirit wants to do something this morning, and I just want to give place for that. So let me just give you some bullet points, promises that are in the new covenant. Number one, our sins will be forgiven and never counted against us again. So when the devil brings up, oh, remember when you did this, and he tries to make you feel shame, just be, you don't have to deny it. Just say, yeah, you're right. And I tell the rest of the story too. I repented, and Jesus cleansed me, and now I'm clean. And if you wanted to, you could actually say back to him, and you're not. Jesus made me clean. Amen. My sins are not counted against me. But I love not only that he forgave me, number two, we receive a new heart that is tender and responsive to God rather than stubborn and rebellious against him. But here's, I want to emphasize, that means we're going to be delivered from our sin nature and from the dominating power of sin over our life. I love this point just as much as I love the first point about forgiveness. I'm so glad I'm forgiven, aren't you? But you know what? I'm glad that I'm not just forgiven, but I'm just as weak and powerless against sin and temptation as I always was. That's not the new covenant. The new covenant is a new heart. It's not only forgiveness. You read it yourself. It's not just forgiveness. It's a new heart, a new spirit. It's a new nature that enables us to obey God. And now sin is not my master anymore. I can overcome any sin. Ever say that with me. I can overcome every sin. Yeah, every single sin. There is no sin that you cannot overcome in the grace of God because of this new covenant you have with Jesus. The Spirit living in you enables you to do it. So I love that part. We're delivered from sin's power. And then number three, bullet point, as we receive a new spirit, as the Holy Spirit comes to live within our spirit. So that means we feel God's presence now. We hear God's voice. We're led by the Spirit. We can do that where we couldn't do that before. Number four, we become beloved members of God's family who are supernaturally connected together by the Holy Spirit with God as our Father. You can read that in the verse I have on your page. I want to, but I won't read it. Ephesians chapter 2. But you're part of a family. It's automatic. You get born again, the Spirit's bears witness that God is your Father. Guess what? You have brothers and sisters. That's great news. You're part of a family. You're not an island to yourself, you and God alone. It's you and all your brothers and sisters and God living as a family with the Spirit dwelling in our midst. Number five, we become ministers of the new covenant. This is 2 Corinthians 3. You can read it there. When the Spirit comes into you, it's like this part of the new covenant. You're not only a recipient, now you become a dealer. You can deal the Spirit of life to others. It's contagious. Truly. This is true. And actually, it says that in 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. You can read it yourself. I want to read it, but I won't. But you become ministers of a new covenant. You can heal the sick. You can preach the gospel. You can baptize those who believe. You can pray for people, and they'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can cast out demons, and on, amen? And then number six is we are promised. There's more promises in this, but I'm just... Number six, we are promised a physical resurrection. Say physical resurrection, okay? And eternal life in God's kingdom. You could read Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The very fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you prophesies the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible calls him the Spirit of Resurrection. Isn't that a cool title for the Holy Spirit? That's who lives in you. How many of you think the devil and a lot of the demonic powers were probably trying anything they could do to resist Jesus being resurrected from the dead? But they can't stop the Spirit of Resurrection because he's God. They are puny little wimps compared to the Almighty. the Spirit of resurrection, he lives inside of you. And he, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he's going to raise your physical body from the grave, and you're going to live in a physical body forever and ever and ever and ever on this earth with Jesus in his kingdom and all the rest of your brothers and sisters throughout the ages. Because that's the dream of God. Amen. So I'll just end there. And let me get this scripture and then we're going to watch the video. If you want to get the video ready to show Alex. It's about a 20 minute or so video I'm going to show, and then we're going to pray and minister afterward. I don't even know, it's like, why just talk about it? Like, let's experience it, right? I mean, it's like my family will sit around and we start talking about places in the world we want to go. And I'm not content to just talk. I'm like, okay, let's make plans. When are we going? Because, like, you talk about it, it whets your appetite. You're like, yeah, Alaska, salmon fishing, come on. Yes, let's go right now. Forests, you watch videos about Alaska, you're like, oh man, that's beautiful, let's go. And then you're like, I want to experience this. At least I do. That's the way it is with the new covenant and the things of God. Why talk about it only? Let's talk about it, see what's available to us, and then let's experience it. So how do I enter into this covenant? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. This is what you do. You guys with me? Remember a covenant? Both parties have things they got to do, right? God just told you what he's going to do. He says, but here's what you need to do. You respond to this message by repenting. It's a way of life. It's not just a one-day thing. Repentance is a way of life. I'm turning away from sin, and I'm turning toward God and living the way he's calling me to live. I'm living in the Spirit, not in the flesh now. So repent and then be baptized. You need to be baptized in water. It's commanded. Every one of you, there you go, so there's no exceptions, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then what's God going to do? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the new covenant. Sins forgiven. He'll forgive your sins, and he'll give you the Holy Spirit. It's the new covenant. So why would we settle for just saying a prayer where we say we repent, getting baptized, and living a life where we're not receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Like, this is part of the covenant. This is why we repent and get baptized. You guys with me? It's like, this is the reason we do this thing. It's like, why would I purchase a house and never move into it? Yeah, I go, I get the loan, whatever it is, or let's say I have cash, and then I go, I pay it, I sign the line, the mortgage company, legally, it's a binding agreement that the property belongs to me, and then I never move into the house. It's like, what? That doesn't even make sense. Let's move into the house and enjoy the reason we did this thing all along. You guys with me? The reason we repent and are baptized is because we want our sins forgiven and we want to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So this is a testimony. It's about 20 minutes long. And it's self-explanatory, but I just want you to, what I love about this is you just see a whole bunch of people hearing the message of Jesus, repenting, getting baptized, demons are cast out of them that were ruining their life. Anna's the one who showed me this video, by the way. Earlier this week, she sent me this link. She's like, this is fire. And I'm like, okay, I like fire of the Holy Spirit. So I started watching it, and within like 3 or 4 minutes, I was like, oh, my spirit was on fire. I was like, yes. And so I had my whole family watch part of it, and then I showed it to the youth group, and now I'm showing it to you part of it. But yeah, and it's just the new covenant happening before our eyes, and then we'll pray afterwards. So yeah, we'll just, Daniel, can you turn off the lights? And then I'll come up afterward and with Autumn and Winter, and we'll just lead a ministry time.
Hey guys, I am in Berlin right now, and I'm going to meet Louis Bega. He came with the song Mambo Number 5 some years ago, and he's a person of peace right now. It's
up,
like Book of Acts chapter 10. Peter was led to Cornelius and his household, and they all repented and received the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see the same now. It's like Book of Acts chapter 19, where Paul, he came to Ephesus, and he met somebody who already believed in God, but they have not yet got baptized to Jesus Christ and have not yet received the Holy Spirit. Louis Bega there, he have come to faith in Christ, but he have not yet got baptized in water and received the Holy Spirit. But this is going to happen now, and I don't know so much what is going to happen here, but I know God is there. So welcome, and let's see what God is doing. Hello! There we have him and the whole family. Come on. Amazing to see you.
Amazing. Long ride.
Yeah, you have.
Come here.
Hey, Tom. Hi.
Geneva.
Geneva. Nice. Hi.
So my wife, myself, my little daughter, we went to the Maldives, a wonderful tropical island in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And we just wanted 7 days of relaxation, of relaxing, sunshine, snorkeling, nothing else to do. You can circle the island within 5 minutes. What we got was 7.5 days of thunderstorm. The floodgates opened up, rain was pouring, and there was nothing else to do. We were stuck to our bungalows, right? I circled my room, I fell into a depression, that's at least how I felt. And then I found one book. I opened up the Bible, I started reading it, and I just remember after like a few pages, I started realizing that this was the truth that I was always looking for. I've looked into different sets of religions before, everything that was trendy and cool, like Buddhism and some New Age stuff. I at least tried to understand it. It never stuck to me, but I tried to. But Jesus Christ, I've passed him over to my regret for so many years. And there he was calling me, giving us the opportunity to seek him, to find him. And I couldn't really run away. It was a bungalow on an island. So I started reading, and I felt so convicted, man. I was convicted within seconds. I broke down, started crying. And now I know that was the Holy Spirit. So I called these people up, and it's not in my nature. Well, it was not in my nature, in my prideful nature before, to just call people up and ask them for a favor. But in this case, it was the right thing to do. I knew that me, my family, and everyone around me needed to be baptized and needed to draw closer to Jesus.
The House of Cornelius is a story about a guy called Cornelius who was a righteous man who was seeking God, but did not know what way to go. He was just seeking God, and then one day God led Peter to his house and the whole household came to faith. And I felt it was the same we were going to see here, that this was not only about David, Lou Bega, it was about the whole household, what God wants to do. And we came there and we entered into that house, as we read about in Luke chapter 10. When you find a person of peace, you go into the house and you eat and drink what they serve. The Holy Spirit is working through repentance. Nobody can come to God unless the Holy Spirit draws that person. So when we start to see God, it's actually the Holy Spirit who are already drawing us. The first step is repentance. Repentance is a new heart where you get that new conscience. You become aware of things. But this is the beginning of salvation. It's not the fullest picture of it. Because now there is a new life that has started inside of you. But the body is dead. And what do we do with a dead body? We need to bury it. Because if you don't bury that dead body is going to come and kill the life. God, I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe in you, Jesus.
I believe in you, Jesus.
I repent.
For my sins.
And I ask you.
Come, Jesus.
Save me. Set me free.
Come with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me up.
Baptize me.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus.
Freedom. Go. Freedom right now. Freedom, leave him. Go right now. Fear go. Go right now. In the name of Jesus, I command every spirit of addiction. Go right now. Go, leave him. Go. Go ba do do koski salada da Holy Spirit, fill him up more. Oh, your love, Holy Spirit, da da kasalada kaskasala, fill him up more. There's freedom. Oh, the Holy Spirit.
is all you know. Freedom. Beginning one more time, God. A new strength inside of him. A new life. A new life. A new life. There's freedom inside of your Holy Spirit. Your Spirit, God. Mama da 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 kaskas. How was that?
Wow, strange. Great though.
Oh, it's the Holy Spirit. Come on. A new beginning, God. I thank you for my friend here. Thank you for a new beginning. Holy Spirit, you have been drawing him. You have been drawing him. You have been drawing him, God. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning, God. There's freedom. There's freedom.
And I can just remember that I felt like a baby. I cannot put it in other words. I felt like a newborn. That's why the term born again is really fitting, because you feel like a newborn baby. You're fresh. Your transgressions, your iniquity, your sin somehow is gone. It's forgotten. You just know that the Father in that moment has forgotten about your sins. I was so joyful. I was so joyful and clean that my whole surrounding, my wife, she couldn't really relate to me for like 30 minutes before it was her turn, because we were on two different paths at that moment. I was born again in spirit, not in water yet, but in spirit. And she wasn't there yet. So she looked at me suspiciously, like, what happened to him? Because our spirits didn't match at that time. Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay.
Nice. Jesus, I thank you for everything you gave me, man. Even in days I was rebellious and didn't listen to you, didn't obey, you never dropped me. You gave me family, you gave me love, you gave me everything I have. So it's time to give back to you, man. So it's great. La 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 la! It's like, it's weird. You want to sing, you want to dance, but at the same time, you're just... Oh, my God. It was just being embraced fully in his kingdom. I think that must have been Adam's feeling, you know, walking the garden. That's the only term that I can come up with. And you're fully connected to God. You know, you're walking his glory. He's watching you with a loving eye, and you're just with him. And even though it's just a fraction, because we're still in that human body, but it was actually the best moment of my life, I could tell. I could say so, yeah. It was way better than winning a Grammy nomination or becoming a football world champion or whatever. This is just the real deal. At the end of the day, this freedom, this salvation is just something you want to share with everyone. And it's a gift that's for free. You just have to give in.
God is not the problem. We are the problem. But instead of sending us all to hell, he did something amazing. He gave us a chance. What he did was he sent his son, Jesus Christ. He did not live in sin. He came on earth pure like Adam and Eve without sin. And he walked here amongst us like Adam and Eve. But where we have all sinned, he was the only one who did not do it. As the only one without sin, they took him and put him on a cross like he was a criminal. And he got buried. But because he was the only one without sin, he rose up again. And then he went to heaven and sent his Holy Spirit down here on earth. What do we need to do now? We need to believe in Jesus and believe in his words. And he said that we should repent toward God. And then he said we need to be born again out of water and spirit.
We shared the gospel with all of them. And then we start to pray for them. And it was so powerful. One by one, God set free from demons. One by one, God healed. And the presence of God was so strong in that house.
God,
I repent.
And I ask you.
And I ask you.
Set me free.
Set me free.
Pain go. Leave her. I command this spirit. Leave her right now. Go right now. Leave her. Holy Spirit, fill her more. Let go. Oh, freedom right now, Holy Spirit. Fill up more. Freedom right now. Oh, fill up, Holy Spirit, your love. Oh, your love, Holy Spirit. Every hurt inside, I command that pain go right now. Pain, let go. Let go right now. Let go. How was that?
Wait.
Is it gone?
It's gone.
Hallelujah.
It's gone.
No.
I have this for a lot of years.
A lot of years.
Yes, yeah. And my son knows it.
Yeah, hallelujah.
I've been always to the doctor, I take all his medicines.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Spirit. Last finger. Sheila, last finger. Come out. We command the spirit. Go right now. Hallelujah.
I'm free. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, God.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
And as you said, many don't believe in that nowadays.
Yes.
But it's so biblical. It's what we read in the Bible.
It is biblical, my friend. It's powerful. Yeah. And people... It's real.
Yeah, it's real and people need to see it. Hallelujah.
I had strange attacks, you know, like voices and thoughts. No, this is not right. Don't do this. This is a cult. And I went to my husband. I said, okay, let's stop this. I don't want this. It's weird. It felt weird to me. He said, no. He was smiling and full of love. And he was like, it's beautiful. Don't think like this. This is beautiful. Believe me. When you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will feel the same. And I was like, no, I don't believe you. Let's stop this. I don't know. I had a big attack at that moment. Yeah, and then he prayed for me. And I was, wow.
God, I come to you.
I come to you.
Ask forgiveness. For what I've done. And I take this pain. And I lay it all to you. And I forgive them. Everybody who has hurt me. And I ask you.
Set me free.
Come with your Holy Spirit. And fill me up.
Right now.
Let go. Right now. Command this pain. Go. Come on. Go. Leave her. Let go. Pain. Go. Hurt. Come out. Let go. I command this spirit of fear, this unclean spirit. Leave her. Come out. Go out.
I remember I fell down and I felt like something left me. And then I was I rose. The Holy Spirit came into me and I rose. Like, I don't know. I was... so loud. I was also shocked at the same moment because, wow, I'm very loud now. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit.
Wow. How was it?
I don't know where I am.
No, you're still here. Hallelujah. Come on. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. Oh, that's freedom right now.
Thank you so much.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Oh. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just want to thank you, Jesus. We thank you for you on this place. Jesus, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, all about you. It's all about your spirit, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for everything you are doing. Thank you for all the life that's getting changed tonight, Jesus. We want to worship you, Jesus. We want to give you honor. And we say, Jesus, that this will never end, Jesus. This more is, it is, this is our life, Jesus. This is our life. This is what it's all about, Jesus. We want to see your kingdom come, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We want to serve you. Come with your Holy Spirit. Oh, it's cold?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
Okay, hallelujah. David, you're not getting baptized to a church. You're not getting, it's not a membership. It's not just an outward sign. This is a really a buried the old life, and it's a washing away sins. And you get baptized to Jesus Christ, because you die with Christ and you rise up with Christ, like Jesus did. It's all about the cross. Jesus died on the cross, he got buried, and he rose up again. We need to die, repent toward God. We need to get buried like Jesus got buried, and then we rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are now in Christ. So take your hands down. Are you ready?
I'm so ready.
On your own faith to get baptized to Jesus Christ?
Oh yes, I do.
So we take you forward. So on your own faith, David, we baptize you to Jesus Christ. Die with Christ. Oh,
all right. Are you ready to get baptized on the name of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
So you kneel down. So we baptize you to Jesus Christ. Go down. Now, die with Christ. Die with Christ. When I prayed for her inside before, I really knew right away that she had to commit abortion. And I felt there was some death over her and a lot of shame and a lot of guilt in that. We don't hide it. We're not ashamed or we don't put it away at like, hey, we should never talk about it. Come on, there is freedom in Jesus. And freedom is to get it out in the air. And what you have done, it is wrong. But you're going to wash away it now. And you also have to forgive yourself now. Jesus has paid the price. Die with Christ. Off with Christ. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. Oh, come on. Oh, God bless you. A new beginning. A new beginning. Hallelujah. Oh, God, was good. It's a new life. This is why Jesus came, to set us free.
It was fantastic, and you want more of it. And you start understanding that Jesus is really alive. He hasn't really left us. This was a major revelation for me because like 99% of mainstream Christians, state Christians, we think he died and He was resurrected and somehow disappeared, right? No, but he's amongst us. If we seek him, he's more than willing to be with us, to dwell with us. But it's us, it's our transgressions, it's our unwillingness that hinders it. So that was maybe the point where I started understanding that Jesus can and wants to be with us if we just let him, if we just seek him. And it makes sense. Anything else is religion.
Praise God. That's good. You can stop it. Can you turn the lights on, please? So I'll have Winter and Autumn come up here with me. What's cool is at the end of the movie, it goes on for a while more, they come back and visit this household a year later. And you know, he was like, he won a world music award. I mean, he's Louis Bega. Some of you have probably heard of him. But they had left their home and moved to a different place to preach the gospel to people, their family. And they go out there and they show them, and they go out and they find this homeless man and they bring him into their home, him and his wife. And they sit at the table with him and they explain the gospel to him. And they give him food to eat, and they explain the gospel to him using the exact same illustration that it was explained to them. They had cups on the table, and they're like, and he came and walked among, and they just did exactly what was done to them. And then the homeless man comes to know Jesus. They pray with him, and the Spirit fills the guy. They baptize him in their bathtub. It's like they give him new clothes, and it's like totally changed life, totally changed life. Like, this is the new covenant. It's a changed life because of the power of the Spirit that comes into us. It's not just a religion where we start showing up at church and try to do religious things. It's like our everything about who we are is completely changed. And our new life is absolutely marked by the Spirit of the living God. And when your life is marked by the Spirit of God, you do, this is what you do. You're ministers of the new covenant. I love afterward, it shows them going around praying for people and ministering to people, and people are getting healed. And it's like, this is who we are. We are people of the Spirit. We are people of the Spirit. And so I just want to minister right now, and I just want to encourage you to stand up with me. I want you to stand up. And we're just going to have a ministry time. I don't even know what this is going to end up looking like. So just let me know if you guys are getting anything and you want to do something. We'll go there. But here's where I want to start. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I just want you right now, I just want you to close your eyes. He's already here. I feel him right now. More, Lord. More, Lord. And just receive him. Just receive the Holy Spirit in your inner man. Come, Holy Spirit. Fire, Lord. Fire, Lord. More. La ba la 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 le 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 So gave le la 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 More, Lord. Sha la 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 Yours may sound different, but just begin praying out in those languages that he gives you right now, and do it out loud. And one of the things I want to encourage you is you're going to have to let go. You're going to have to actually yield. It's like that one quiet, his wife, you know, she's like super quiet. She's like, oh, I'm loud now. And she's, but you know what? She had to yield and surrender. And you're going to have to let go and let the Spirit do what he wants to do. And so don't, you know, it's natural in our human pride, you know, to be thinking, oh, what am I going to look like? What are people going to think? And it's like, who cares? Who cares? Just receive from the Holy Spirit. Just begin speaking out in those other tongues as he begins to touch you. So, Father, we just say, Holy Spirit, we just release the baptism of the Holy Spirit in every person in this room. We just fire of the Holy Spirit right now. We call forth the gift of tongues. God, that we would speak with new tongues, that we would prophesy, that we would pray with new tongues in the name of Jesus, God. Just right now, just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
I feel really strongly too that there have been like people that have dealt with sin cycles and areas of darkness in your heart that you haven't even realized that there's actually been a demonic influence there that's made it hard for you to overcome. And right now I feel like that's going, like there's things lifting off of people. I just encourage you to engage your faith, recognize, okay, this cycle that I have been under, like, I command that thing to go right now in Jesus' name. I receive the light of God. I receive the Holy Spirit, and any influence of the enemy must go right now in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I'm just going to do that. Yeah, just hold off on the, I told him to play that music, but I want to hold off on it right now because I just feel like we're just going to do this for a little bit. Come, Holy Ghost. Who would like prayer to receive the Holy Spirit? Who would like somebody to lay hands on you and pray for you for that? Okay? If you want prayer for that, I want you to just come and stand up front, and we're going to pray for you. So you can come up right now.
I also feel like maybe some of us in this room, like, we're already filled with the Holy Spirit, but, like, we're just feeling, like, dry maybe for, like, a few months or maybe a few years. It doesn't matter how long. I just want to just come with you and agree with you in prayer. So if you want to come up as well and pray just for that dryness to be broken off your life, I just feel like there's an anointing for that in the room. So if you want to come just for prayer for that as well.
Yeah, so, yeah, if you just want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just come on up front.